So just a couple announcements as we get started. If it's your first time here, we're so thankful for you being here with us. We have some jam, homemade jam, out at the connection table. We'd love to give you guys one of those. So if you have somebody that's their first time at your table, when you go to discussion later, you can make sure to get them a jam and make sure to have them fill out one of those welcome cards as well. Other than that, just a couple big things on the horizon. On January 15th, we are going to have a partners meeting here at the school. I have no idea what the slides are up there, but we're just going to roll with it. So we're going to have a partners meeting here at the school. This should be in your bulletin, a little blurb about that. It'll be at 4:30, so if you are a partner or if you consider this to be your home church, we would love to have you join us for that time. There's going to be a lot of big announcements and just some prayer over things. It's going to be a great time to come here. And then right after that, that's on the 15th, on the 17th, we're going to be starting up our 2022 Winter Spring DC. That's our Discipleship Collectives. So the best way to access all things Discipleship Collective is going to be on your smartphone or on the website. We have a new thing called Church Center that we're going to be using. There's a QR code in the bulletin that you can download that app if you haven't done it yet. But when you download that, you're going to say that Missio Dei Falcon is your church, and you're going to be able to pull up all the information about your DC, and our DC leaders have gone in there and set things up so you can get information about when we're starting. But that's going to start up in just a couple weeks, starting the week of the 17th. We'll get back to our sermon-based gatherings, men's, women's, mixed, youth. We're going to be talking about what we have heard in the sermon and doing life together. All right, so today we're going to have something a little bit different. There's no one sermon. That's great, yay. But yeah, there's no one sermon. We're going to have three very short sermons, like 5 minutes or less. So it's going to be exciting. And then we're going to have three times of discussion right after that. So that's going to be kind of the cadence. We know there's lots of kids around. If you need to get up and get more donuts, more coffee, don't worry about that. Just go for it. So that's going to be really exciting. And we're just going to kind of process some things. We're going to try and process what has happened in 2021 as we move into and celebrate what God is going to be doing in our lives in 2022. So that's going to be kind of the cadence today. Let's just pause for a second and pray before we jump into all that. God, thank you so much for this time. We pray that you're going to work through all the things that are said, discussions. Just please use this time, Lord, to help our hearts to know how much you love us, how faithful you are, all the great things that you have done to see us through 2021, and help us to know how much you're going to love us moving forward in 2022 as well. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to start with, we're going to kind of go through the three E's that we have for Missio Dei Falcon, our kind of vision, mission statements. So the first one is encountering the person of Jesus through the transforming study of his word. So as we go through that, that's the one I get to start with. I'm excited to be up here first. And as I thought about that, there's a lot of ways that I encounter Jesus throughout the year. But especially encountering Jesus through the transforming study of his word, one specific example came to mind. So for me, you know, I think it was probably the last week of November, and we were just finishing up, like we were taking a break, that we were starting into Advent, and so scripture journaling, I'd been going through Acts, and we weren't doing Acts that week, so I took a little break, and I needed something. We were getting ready to start Gentle and Lowly at the beginning of December, so just a few days at the end of November, and so I'm like, oh, I'll just go and do some extra scripture and dig into something else. And so I kind of thought through different verses that I had struggled with throughout the year, and one that I came back to was John 17. So John 17, if you're not familiar with it, that's the time where Jesus is in the garden and he's praying the night that he's going to be crucified, like right before his death. And so Jesus has this crazy long prayer, very detailed, and one of the lines in that prayer, Colbert had brought to the staff at a staff meeting. And in verse 4, I'm going to read it. Verse 4 says, I glorified you, this is Jesus talking, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. Now, just that one verse as a throwaway, I think Colbert brought it to the staff because it was like, we always have work to do. We always have something to do. And so he brought this verse to us and had us chew on it. And I don't even remember. I think that was in like September. I don't remember what his point was or why he brought it to us. I just remember not getting it and not understanding that specific verse and how it applied to me being staff. And so I didn't get it. So I thought I'll spend a few days here at the end of November chewing on it. So one of the things that I do as I look at scripture is I journal. We have those Acts journals, but when I'm off Acts or something else, I use these old journal things. And so I remember going through, and I'm just reading John 17. And the first day, I really had some great thoughts as I got through it. And I think I'm just going to read something from my journal. Yeah, so I was thinking through and praying through, and I was thinking specifically, here's Jesus praying for his disciples, for himself, for his disciples, and for all the people that his disciples would go on to impact. And so the first day I read it and I prayed through it and thought about it, I had such a great takeaway as far as what it meant to me and what it meant for me as a leader, yeah, as I'm praying through for my Missio Kids volunteers and things like that. So I think I wrote down, this is a model for effective, this is an effective and healthy model for me to follow as well. So I pray first for myself and then my co-laborers and teammates and then for all the people that God will impact through the work that we do in Falcon and Colorado Springs. And I sat with that for a couple days and I didn't journal the next day. And then I came back and I don't think I'd done that. I don't think, whatever it was, I hadn't spent the last few days praying for all my leaders like I was so convicted I needed to do. So I came back to this passage fresh, and I'm like, man, God, I thought you told me what to do, and I totally failed at it. So then rereading the same passage again, journaling on it again, I thought, I've been reading and rereading this passage, but I am still missing the true impact. I am so focused on what I ought to do, I keep missing what Jesus has already done. Jesus asks God to protect me. Jesus finished his work. There are indeed some great implications here, but the emphasis is on Jesus' love for his people and on me being one of those people that he loves. So I read this and I was so desperate to figure out what I needed to do that I totally missed the person of Jesus and how much he loves me. And struggling through it over a couple of days, I didn't get that right away. But just going back to the same passage, it really, for me, was one of the ways that I encountered the person of Jesus through the transforming study of his word. So I'm here to encourage you that all of you can have that same experience. That's what scripture does. There are a few ways that we're going to try and help everyone here at Missio do that this year. We have new Bible reading plans. Maybe you saw in the Three Things email. We have some printed copies available out at the connection table. Some of you guys may have been doing that from last year. Maybe you're not finished yet, and your 12-month reading plan just became a 14-month or a 16-month reading plan. We encourage you to just keep going. Just being faithfully going through Scripture every day is one of the ways that we can encounter Jesus. And maybe as you're doing that daily Bible reading, you don't get it, and you got to come back to yesterday's passage again. Maybe you'll spend a whole week on one passage, and maybe that's how Jesus will reach you, but that is such a great opportunity all of us have to encounter Jesus through the transforming study of his word. So we have a couple of discussion questions that we are going to look at. This first part, as we reflect and refocus, we're going to think about encounter. And so here's our reflect and refocus questions. Are they up there? Perfect. How did you see Jesus working in you in 2021 to grow you in these two areas? How did he use that growth to work through you to disciple others? And this is a great question because for a lot of us, the people that we are principally discipling are our kids, and they are here with us. So this is a really great question for us to be looking at this morning. And then refocus. How would you like to see Jesus work in you and through you in 2022 so that you can grow in these areas? What tangible steps are you going to take? So we're going to spend about 5 minutes on this, and then we're going to come back together.
It's good to see you all here today. A lot warmer today than yesterday, huh? My name is Mark. I'm one of the elders here at Missio Dei, and it's my pleasure to speak today about our second tenet on these three items today, which is experiencing the love of Jesus through the love of his people. If you have a Bible, I'm not sure we have the slide for it, but I want to start with this in John chapter 13, verse 34. It says, this is Jesus speaking, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." If we ask the question, what was the standout theme of Jesus' life? And I'm not talking about his victory over the tomb and death, his crucifixion. I'm talking about his life, how he lived his life. I think the answer would have to be he loved people. If you look at all of the different stories through the New Testament, they're all about the way he loved people. Especially that part right in the middle of this verse in 34, where he says, just as I have loved you. So Jesus is saying, listen, I have lived an example of how I want you to live your life. And I know this is probably nothing new to any of you in here. But I think sometimes these things we really need to dive into deep so that it's a reminder of this is how we live our life. And I kind of wanted to, when I was thinking about this, I was like, how do I convey this from my own personal testimony in this year? And from the book of Luke, one of my favorite stories, chapter 19, I'd like to read the few verses here. This is where Jesus encounters Zacchaeus. It says, starting in chapter 19, verse 1, "He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully." I think one of the things I'd like to point out there at the beginning of all this is that Jesus, it says that he was passing through. And I think that's kind of how we all live our lives, as we're passing through. I think we could argue that I don't know anybody that says, you know, my life is just so slow-paced, it's so boring, I wish I had something more to do. If you find somebody like that, let them know. We need more volunteers around here. But I think it's important that there's a connection. Sometimes we feel disconnected from what Jesus' life was like and what he was living because we say, oh, that was a long time ago. Life was different then. But I think I would argue, if Jesus was on his way somewhere, if you were the person in charge of managing his time, I think you would say, we don't have time to stop for this guy in the tree. You've only got 3 years to tell the whole world about who you are and what you've come here to do. So I don't think that we can say that Jesus' life was different, that he had all kinds of time to stop and say, hey, come down from that tree. I want to go to your home, and I want to spend time with you. And I think this was a reminder for me of just how we need to look at how we encounter Jesus' love, but how we share Jesus' love as well. This is a little tougher for me. It's a little fresh. Colbert asked me about this. I was like, I think it's too soon. But this few weeks ago, we let my mother, who was 84 years old, go home to be with Jesus. I picture her now helping Jesus prepare the feast for the rest of us when we come. That's the way she was. And she encapsulated this concept of loving one another more than anyone I've ever known in my life. And I thank God for that gift of a mother that can show me what that means. She loved Jesus with all her heart, soul, and mind, and her neighbors as herself. I could stand here for hours telling you about all the things she did, hosting missionaries that would travel into town from Africa and South America. What impact that had on my life to see the way she loved people that needed love. How she treated the people that she worked with in her office that were the lowest in the office. They were all equals. And it really became apparent at her funeral the way the hundreds of cards and the hundreds of people that just came and said what an impact she'd made on their life. And there was the part of that that rang true to me the most is the fact that after all of that, my mother still continues to teach me from the grave about who Jesus was and how much he loves us and that we should love others. And that comes through from verse 35, the one right after what you just read, where Jesus says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And I think in her service, it really just was an opportunity for me to have that sink home, that looking at the lifespan of her life, she loved Jesus her whole life, and realizing that that is what it looks like to have a life that Jesus can say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," in living her life the way she did. She wasn't perfect. None of us are perfect. But cumulatively, that's what Jesus wants from all of us, is to find the Zacchaeuses in the trees, to say, "Come down from there. I want to go home with you, and I want to share the love of Jesus with you, because it's greater than any gift I could give you, financially or otherwise." So I think that's my I learned a lot from that experience, and I'm thankful to God for showing me those things through that. And I think as we move forward as a church, we need to remember that being busy isn't an excuse to not show the love of Jesus to someone. My wife and I yesterday were praying for our neighbors, and I realized how little I live my life like Jesus did with Zacchaeus. And how quickly we just drive on, drive past, we wave, and we say that's good enough. And yet here are these people around us, and we don't care enough to say, "Hey, you know what, there's a guy that died for your sins that loves you more than I'll ever love you." And it's our privilege, not our duty, but our privilege to be able to share that. Okay, so now we're going to spend 5 minutes at our tables, and we're going to discuss this. There was the questions. I don't know if you all saw that there's papers that were handed out that have all the questions there, and you're free to take those with you. One thing I'm supposed to push is the church app that David was talking about. That is the doorway for us to care for each other as the body of Christ. That, too, is important, that we are able to lift each other up in prayer, encourage each other so we're not always tired, weary, and burned out. So I would challenge you to get connected that way as well as in a DC. It's the way you get to know people. I've got to know the Dangers really well this past year, and the Grahams, we've been getting together. And there's something about looking into God's Word that can make you a friend of somebody you didn't know much quicker than arguing about politics. Trust me. So our questions on this one, the second one, let's see, where did that go? Are they up there on the screen? Yeah, I think you can see them up there. So let's take about 5 minutes and do that, and then we'll jump on to the next tenet. Thanks.
Well, good morning, church. My name is Tim Battelli, and if I don't know you, I'm one of the deacons here at Missio. And if you haven't figured it out yet, what we are doing this morning as we begin a new year is we are reflecting on our mission here at Missio Day, specifically our local church. And we put it up on the screen once. I'm going to read it again. Creating the space for all people to encounter the person of Jesus through the transforming study of his word, experience the love of Jesus through the love of his people, and finally, what I'm going to talk about a little bit here is and engage the work of Jesus through missional discipleship. Before I get started, obviously, you can hear it in my voice. I'm not feeling great. You can rest assured I took a COVID test. It was negative, okay? So we're good there. But I am kind of congested. So if you would pray for me as I speak. So I'm just going to pray really quick one more time, and then I'm going to share with you some thoughts that the Lord laid on my heart concerning discipleship. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can be here among your people. Lord, we thank you so much that we can be in a place where we can worship you. We can begin a new year by worshiping you. And Lord, we pray that as we continue to talk about our mission here at Missio Dei, that God, Lord, you would bring more bodies, more people to join us in this mission, to reach out to Falcon and Colorado Springs with your gospel, Lord. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we continue to shift culturally to a new way of living through a continual COVID-19 pandemic, it's vital for each of us to engage in missional discipleship. This is where we build the church. And when I say that, I mean with actual people, practically. You can encounter Jesus through his word by attending a service and listening to a sermon. You can experience the love of God through his people to a certain extent when attending a Sunday service by maybe meeting some new people, seeing some friendly faces, things like that. But you are most likely not going to engage to the level that reaches discipleship unless you join a discipleship collective. And I'm talking about here at Missio Dei. I'm not talking about other churches. I'm talking about here. This is where real community happens at Missio. This is the beginning of my sixth year at Missio, and I can tell you from experience that you can come to this church and you can serve at this church, but you really probably won't be discipled unless you join a discipleship collective. When I first started attending Missio, my family joined a discipleship collective. We felt so very connected to the church at that time. We felt like we were growing in our faith with like-minded friends. Over the years, the Lord has led every single family in our original DC away. Some have moved to other states, and others have moved across town. Whatever the reason, we lost our friends. We lost people that we did life with. About 3 years ago, we started leading the youth DC, my wife and I. We have a youth discipleship collective here. That's how we do youth group. Instead of having like a Wednesday night service and a band and all of that, we have a discipleship collective just for them. And we really loved our time leading this discipleship collective because we've been able to see students fall in love with Jesus more. We've seen them grow in their faith. We've seen them give testimony. We've even seen students come to know Jesus in these past 3 years. It's been amazing. Bear with me. Last year, this was something that began to weigh on my heart and my mind. And that is that even though I was helping lead the youth ministry, I wasn't in a discipleship collective for myself. So I joined a men's DC, and I hadn't been in one for years. And it really, really changed just my life and my outlook this year. Each week, I meet with a group of men from the church at a local coffee shop. We read scripture. We reflect on the sermon. We talk about our lives. We pray for each other. And that's exactly what I needed, and I was missing that in my life. I'm convinced that we were not meant to live the Christian life alone. And as great as it is to attend a church service each week, it's not enough. You will never really be part of your church unless you are in community with your church. I recently went through sort of a roller coaster of events, leaving a job I loved because I thought God was calling me to another position, just to find out that God was using a very unique set of circumstances to bring me to where I am now. And this all took place over the course of a few months. And Bruce, Bill, Adam, and Jay were not just praying for me, they were praying with me. When I wasn't sure whether I was going to have a job or insurance or whatever, they were standing by me as brothers through the uncertainty that I was facing in my life. This is what we all need in our lives. Missional discipleship only happens through authentic Christian community. John 1:7 says this, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another." The word fellowship in this verse is the word koinonia. I know a lot of you probably already knew that. This is a term that conveys a sense of community, solidarity, and shared responsibility among households or individuals. It's the Great Commission itself in Matthew 28, where Jesus calls us to make disciples. So this isn't really an optional thing. This is the task given to us by our Lord, by his own words. Growing up, I always thought that telling people about Jesus would get easier if I just knew the answers to life's biggest questions. And that's true to a degree. But as I've aged, I've come to realize that just because you move a barrier from someone's path doesn't necessarily mean they're going to continue down that path. But if I offer to journey with someone and meet life's trials by their side, they're much more likely to continue to grow in their faith. And so as we begin to reflect again at our tables, you'll see, maybe you've realized already, the questions are the same every single time. I want you to think about whether or not you're in a DC, whether or not, and if you haven't joined a DC, to really think about that, because that's where discipleship happens here at Missio. I'm looking out at all of you, and there's lots of people I recognize, but there's lots of people I don't. And that's because we probably haven't been in relationship. And relationship happens in discipleship collectives here at Missio. And it's God's intention, I believe, that we walk together on this journey in relationship. And that, I believe, is where real missional discipleship takes place. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you have designed the Christian life so that we would walk together and not alone. Lord, I pray if there's someone in this room right now that feels alone in their faith, Lord, would you just prick our hearts? Would you prick that person's heart, Lord, to open up, to join a discipleship collective so that we can do life together as a community? We can grow in our love and our desire to know you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, as soon as we finish up, we're going to stand together. And as we do every week here at Missio Dei, we're going to remember the Lord's Supper together. What a great thing to do at the beginning of a new year is just come back to where our Savior has invited us to meet him at the table. And the table is open here at Missio Dei. If you're a Christ follower, you're welcome to come. No membership cards needed or anything. And parents, we'll just leave it up to you this morning. If your kids are ready to remember what Christ has done for them, they're welcome to partake as well. We'll just leave that up to you. But as we sing this next song, let's dedicate all these discussions, all the things we've sort of considered from the last year to Christ. in this new year, and remember that He is with us. His presence is with us in all of these things, and He wants to meet us at His table. So as we sing, you come as you feel ready. Either side here, there is the bread and the cup, and we'll continue on after that. Amen.